In our midweek Bible study, we've been working through a passage in the second chapter of Paul's letter to Titus, where we have some of God's wisdom for various ages and stages of life, for older men and for older women, for young women, for wives and mothers, and for young men. And we've had 6 studies in this series thus far, and in our last one, we focused on the final instruction Paul gives in chapter 2, verse 5. The older women in the churches on the island of Crete were to teach the young women to be obedient or submissive to their own husbands. We took some time to think about what that means and what it doesn't mean, and I trust that study was a help and an encouragement to you. In Titus chapter 2, Paul doesn't talk in detail about marriage, and he doesn't address husbands like he does wives. He gives specific teaching for Christian wives, but not for Christian husbands. But that's what I'm going to do in our study this evening. I'm going to talk to husbands, and I'm going to do so by referring to 3 well-known texts in the New Testament. I think it would serve us well to remind husbands of what the Bible says about their responsibilities. The first text we're going to look at is in Ephesians chapter 5. It's probably the one that first comes to mind whenever we think about the subject of marriage. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 28, which say, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." Now, there is something wonderfully straightforward about this text. A Christian husband's responsibility to his wife is made very clear. He is to love his wife. Now, we might be tempted to think, well, this is so obvious. Why did the Holy Spirit, via Paul's pen, need to say it? Of course, husbands love their wives. I won't dive too deeply into the historical context this evening because I've talked about it in previous studies, but we have to remember that Paul was writing at a time when arranged marriage was the norm. So it's quite possible that many husbands weren't naturally drawn to loving their wives. The way we think about romantic love and marriage was probably not the norm in many marriages in the first century Greco-Roman world. Paul was also writing to people, many of whom who were saved out of the pagan way of life. They had previously held to the pagan view of marriage and sexuality. In the Greco-Roman world, it was not uncommon for a man to be married, but at the same time to have sexual relations with other people, male and female. His wife bore his children, but he wasn't necessarily expected to be faithful to her. He wasn't expected to love her as God intended him to. So, given the historical and cultural context, it was vitally important that Paul said this, that he told Christian husbands to love their wives. This may have been quite revolutionary for some of his readers. This might have been a totally new way of thinking about their marriage. And especially when Paul goes on to describe what marital love should look like and what the marriage relationship typifies. I don't think this command is out of place today. I don't think it's irrelevant at all. Sadly, there are husbands who don't love their wives. Not really. There are husbands who don't support their wives, who don't help them. There are husbands who are selfish. There are husbands who are controlling. There are husbands who are cold and distant. There are husbands who are unfaithful. Husbands who share the marriage bed while maintaining a secret addiction to pornography or while pursuing relationships with other women. Now, just because we don't have arranged marriages today, and just because we subscribe to Judeo-Christian sexual ethics, it doesn't mean we don't need this command. Even in the church, we need to hear this. Husbands, love your wives. I'm not going to get into the theology of marriage that Paul gives us in Ephesians chapter 5. That's a study for another day, probably a series of studies. Rather, I want to focus on this command and what it means or what it looks like. Now, how does a husband love his wife? Well, the New Testament actually tells us. There's a lot we could look at, but I'm going to focus on just four things. If you'd like an alternate title for this study, it might be Four Ways to Love Your Wife. And the first is here in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 25. It's what we see when we look at Jesus' love for his bride, the church. And the text says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Christ gave himself to redeem and sanctify a people drawn from every tribe, tongue, kindred, and nation. A people he could have communion with and enjoy forever. And marriage is the visible picture of that beautiful relationship that God has put into this world. Every marriage speaks of Christ and the church. That's why every perversion of marriage is not only sinful, but blasphemous as well. Jesus' love for this people, for the church, was expressed or shown. It looked like him giving up his life. It looked like him going to the cross. Think of the way he allowed himself to be mistreated and abused. Think of how he walked the streets of Jerusalem bearing his cross. Think of how he voluntarily lay down on that awful instrument of death and stretched out his arms. Think about the nails that were driven through his hands and feet. Think of his blood that flowed down to the ground from the wounds that covered his body. He gave himself. He literally poured out his life for us, for those he loved. Husbands are to love their wives like this. This is the example. It's a very high standard, isn't it? And it's hard. This doesn't come naturally. We need the grace of Christ. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul has talked about earlier in this chapter. And what Paul is describing here is self-sacrifice. Husbands love their wives by sacrificing for them, for their well-being, for their joy, like Jesus did for ours. There are many times when love looks like a husband saying no to himself, saying no to his desires, to his plans, to his comfort and pleasure in order to care for his wife, to help her, to minister to her needs. He lays down his life for her. A husband who rarely gives up anything for his wife's sake isn't loving her. And unfortunately, this is an all too familiar story. It's almost a cliche. The husband who is entirely devoted to achieving his career goals or the accumulation of wealth, and his wife's needs are subservient to that. It's her joy. It's her emotional and mental well-being that are sacrificed on the altar of his ambition. And she's left worn out, unfulfilled, unhappy, and alone. Or there's the husband who loves his sport or his entertainment or socializing with his mates, and he never says no to that. He never puts that aside to help his wife, to be with his wife, to invest in her and in their marriage. And then he expects her to meet his needs, to take care of him, to share the marriage bed. And this is not how a Christian husband behaves. This is not how he relates to his wife. Self-sacrifice. That's the first way a husband loves his wife. He follows the example of our wonderful Lord Jesus. The second way is over in Colossians chapter 3, where the apostle gives this command again. Only this time he adds something. Colossians chapter 3, verse 19. It says, "Husbands, love your wives," there's the command, "and be not bitter against them." That's interesting, isn't it? Part of loving one's wife is not being bitter against her, not resenting her. Why might Paul have added this detail? Well, I think we know why. It's because this is something that can very easily happen. A husband might become resentful towards his wife because he's selfish and he's aggrieved that she's not giving him what he wants. He has unfair or unrealistic expectations. A husband might become bitter against his wife because she has needs and he doesn't like being taken away from what he wants to do in order to help her. He might become bitter because he's jealous of her success, or because of her family, or because of the opportunities that she has that he doesn't. A husband might become bitter because she doesn't agree with him as much as he wished she would, and he doesn't like having to do the hard work of talking things through and finding a compromise. Bitterness can find its way into a husband's heart for many reasons. And the danger it poses to a marriage is perhaps second only to infidelity, and I wonder how often infidelity is the fruit of bitterness. Bitterness is so damaging because of what it produces. The husband with a bitter heart will eventually do and say things he should not. He will become unloving in the way he relates to his wife. When the author of Hebrews speaks of bitterness in chapter 12, he warns against a root of bitterness springing up in a church context, because if it does, there is trouble and many are defiled. Bitterness is a sin that produces more sin. And the same goes for marriage. You know, bitterness is so damaging, so defiling. So husbands, don't let yourself become bitter against your wife. Even if you feel as though she's not fulfilling her responsibilities to you, you know, with God's help, fight against it. If you're feeling frustrated, disappointed, or aggrieved, and whether those feelings are justified or not, you need to bring them to the cross. You need to go to the Lord and ask for his help. You need to remember what he went through for you. You need to remember how patient he is with you, and kind and compassionate. That's the only way not to become bitter. It's by looking to the Lord Jesus. And then husbands, you need to communicate with your wife. And not when you're frustrated. Not when you're upset, but when you've got your feelings in hand and after you've examined yourself, pulled out the beam that might be in your own eye, and your wife can't read your mind. She might have no idea that there's an issue. Communication will help a great deal in preventing bitterness from finding its way into your heart and into hers as well. So, loving your wife involves, number one, self-sacrifice. And number two, not being bitter against her. The third and fourth ways that I want to bring your attention to this evening are found in another New Testament epistle, the first epistle of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And there the Lord says this, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them," that is, with your wives, "according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Now, husbands love their wives by dwelling with them, you're living with them, according to knowledge. Well, knowledge of what? Well, knowledge of what the Bible says about marriage, that's part of it. Knowledge of what God expects a husband to be and to do, how he is supposed to think about his wife and relate to her. But primarily, I think the apostle is referring to a husband's knowledge of his wife. Don't live with her as if she's a stranger, as if she's someone you barely know anything about. Get to know her. Make an effort to know her better than you know anyone else. Get to know what she likes and what she doesn't, what annoys her and what makes her happy. Get to know the areas in which she excels and the areas in which she struggles. Learn all about her. And then apply what you learn to your relationship. Apply what you know as you make your life together. I think this is one of the ways in which a wife's affections are stirred for her husband. You know, when he knows something about her that no one else does, and he goes out of his way to meet that need or to bless her in some way. That's when any of us feel loved, when someone does something for us specifically. They show us a kindness that has particular meaning or relevance to us. And if I can speak frankly about this for a moment, I fear that we husbands can be a bit boneheaded. We can be inconsiderate and insensitive. We say dumb things, things that hurt our wives. We make poor choices. We frustrate and disappoint our wives, and often it's not because we're deliberately selfish or mean-spirited, simply because we don't know them like we should. We should know that those words or that behaviour would be hurtful. We should know that she needs us to make different choices, but we don't know. We need to do better. We need to love our wives better. The fourth way in which husbands love their wives is by giving them honour. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel." The reference to the wife being the weaker vessel may be a reference to her physical capacities. Of course, there are exceptions. But generally speaking, husbands are physically stronger than their wives. But perhaps Peter is getting at something else. If a wife submits to her husband as Christ calls her to, that puts her in a somewhat vulnerable position, a weaker position, if you will. She could be dominated. She could be bullied or abused. Husbands aren't to do that. They aren't to take advantage of their wives' submission, but rather to give them honour. One author expresses it this way: the wife, by marrying, has accepted a position where she submits herself to her husband. Such a position is vulnerable, open to exploitation. The husband is commanded not to take advantage of the woman's vows of submission. Her acceptance of a position of weakness in submission to him is a call to her husband for consideration and thoughtful support. Now, however we interpret this description of the wife as the weaker vessel, the command is clear enough. Husbands are to respect their wives, to esteem their wives. Husbands are to hold their wives up, not talk them down, not belittle them or speak ill of them. Now, it's not love when a husband runs down his wife to his mates. You know, it's one thing to share a concern with a trusted friend or a church leader. It's one thing to ask for help or for prayer. There's a place for that. But it's another thing entirely to gossip and slander and complain. Nor does a husband honour his wife when he shares details of their intimate life with his mates or engages in foolish talk about such things. Again, that's not love. Honouring one's wife is also about insisting that children obey and honour their mother. Mums need dads to be right behind them. They need dads to step in when there is disobedience and disrespect. Children will be greatly helped in this regard. They will honour their mother when they see their dad honouring their mother. On the other hand, if you mouth off at your wife, if you speak disrespectfully to her, don't be surprised when your children do. They're watching. Their view of marriage and of family life is being shaped all the time. So, there you have it. 4 ways to love your wife. And they're pretty straightforward. These aren't my ideas on the subject. These don't come out of a popular Christian book on this topic. This is what the Bible says. This is how the Bible describes what a Christian husband's love looks like, what it involves. Now, in closing, I want to ask my brothers who are married, how are you doing? How well are you loving your wife? Think for a moment about these 4 aspects I've talked about in this study. A self-sacrifice, saying no to yourself to help and bless your bride, following the example of our Lord Jesus. Is that a feature of your love for her? Not being bitter. Now, are you bitter against her? Now, is this a problem in your marriage? I hope not. And living with her according to knowledge. We could all do better on this front, I'm sure. Giving her honour. Treating her with the utmost respect. I hope you do. May God help us. And may God bless our marriages. Amen.